In Revelation chapter 12, we have some information about a woman who is about to have a baby. As this woman, Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, is travailing in birth, and this is an exact quote from the text, the Bible says a few verses later that the devil is standing next to her, or in close proximity to her. John also tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil wants to devour, eat, destroy the child this lady is about to deliver. Now, the 12th chapter of Revelation may seem to be off the beaten path for a Mother's Day sermon, but I do think that there are some things here which are worthy of study and points of application that we can offer and make when it comes to women, mothers, and our honoring them. If you've already turned to Revelation chapter 12, and I see that many have, thank you for doing that. Let's read the first six verses. And a great sign was seen in heaven. There was, John said, a woman arrayed with the sun. The moon was under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven. And behold, there was a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his 7 heads, 7 diadems or crowns. And his tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, and here it is, he may devour her child. Verse 5. And when she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Then finally, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and there they may nourish her 1,260 days. In this chapter, and this is sort of a one-sentence summary of Revelation chapter 12, in this chapter we have an overview, a very quick overview, of God's plan to redeem man, to bring Jesus Christ into the world. Now, when we think about God's plan of redemption, most of us, I think, are familiar with how the book of Genesis begins. After a few chapters, there's the fall, and then God begins to talk to a man by the name of Abraham, and some promises are made to him, and then you have Isaac, and then, of course, Jacob, and then you get to the Hebrew nation and all the other things that took place, so Jesus can finally come into the world. Most who are here, I think, will recall how Jacob, or that fellow by the name of Israel, had several sons. And those sons became the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. If you were to go back to the Old Testament, Genesis 37, verse 9, you would find there a reference to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the third key member of that family. And you would find in Genesis 37, verse 39, that Jacob, or Israel, had this dream. And the dream in Genesis 37 sounds a lot like the information in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Well, that tells us that John is going back to that period, that pre-Mosaic period, and picking up some information that he's using to communicate to the seven churches of Asia. John used that to say, and he uses the woman in Revelation chapter 12, especially verse 2, to say that there was a time, this woman that is associated with light. He used that to say that religion, authorized by God, sanctioned by God, given by God, was available to men very early in the race of mankind. And John uses that fact, or uses, illustrates that fact, by using a woman. In other words, as he looks at Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he's saying that back there during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and especially Jacob, people were spiritually enlightened. And he describes that spiritual enlightenment with this woman that is radiant, arrayed like the sun, the moon under her feet, and so forth. So prior to the New Testament, even prior to the Mosaic Law, we have God illustrating truth, the way that God wanted people to live, righteousness during the time of Abraham and so forth. He illustrates those things by this radiant lady. Now, I find that to be an interesting choice as far as an illustration, because in our day and time, we have several people who say the Bible does not hold ladies in high regard. At some point, we may hear someone say, someone may claim that the Bible, as far as this book, it holds ladies back, it makes them second-class citizens. That's not what we begin to see or find when we open up the Word of God. John spoke of this woman, this lady, and she's arrayed, she's decked out, if you will, with the sun and the moon under her feet. A lot of people, as they come to Revelation 12, the first few verses, they say, well, this must be Mary, the mother, the woman who brought Jesus into the world. Well, you might think that if you didn't read a little further into the chapter. Let's pick up with verses 13 through 17. And here he's still talking about this woman that brought the child into the world. But as you look at 13 through 17, I think it becomes apparent that John was not talking about Mary. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. Well, that's the same woman that we were reading about earlier. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness under her place, where she's nourished for time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as or like a river, that he might cause her to be carried away in the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. If we read the whole chapter, especially these latter verses, that woman back there in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, is really a description of religion that was authorized by God. You see, prior to the institution of the New Testament, God had instituted some religions for the folks. There was a certain way to do things for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, of course, we have the law of Moses. Back there during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God takes that time in Revelation chapter 12 and says, this was so important, I'm going to illustrate it by a glorious woman. The next time somebody comes along and says, well, you know, Christianity doesn't have that high regard for women. It doesn't say nice things about ladies and mothers. Think about Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. God looks upon women, upon mothers, as being so important that he uses them in Revelation chapter 12 to symbolize things like truth, right religion, righteousness, prior to the giving of the New Testament law. So, when we think about that, God elevated in Revelation chapter 12 the female species to a high, high place. Bearing that in mind, let's look a little more deeply into our text. In Revelation chapter 2, we begin to find the first of five facts. First of all, fact number one, John says there was this woman and she was with child. She was pregnant. Facts 2 and 3, she was crying out and giving travail and birth. Facts 4 and 5, she was in pain. She was going to be delivered. Now here's where it really begins to get interesting. The religious systems that were lived under by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even the religious system that the Jews lived under, were all for a limited period of time. Now, John in Revelation chapter 12 is describing this woman who is carrying the child. Now, if you are even somewhat familiar with pregnancy, you know that the pregnancy is divided up often by trimesters. A woman will say, well, I'm in my first trimester, I'm in my second trimester, I'm in my third trimester. There are stages that pregnancy is unfolding little by little by little, and then finally we get to when? The delivery day, right? That's what John is saying. It's the illustration he's using here in Revelation chapter 12. Before that baby comes along, there are typically some twists and turns in the process for ladies. And God is saying, look, this is a great illustration. This is the perfect illustration. This is a divine illustration for what I did with the Old Testament. Just as that woman goes from A to Z with the pregnancy, God says, that's been my plan for man. I started out just as a woman will conceive a child. God conceived a plan, and God said that plan has unfolded little by little, trimester by trimester, if you will, just like a woman's pregnancy works. A pregnant woman is used to illustrate how God brought his son into the world. That's amazing. That's impressive. But you know, that's not all. As God uses women to describe how the plan of redemption was gradually unfolded, after that plan is fulfilled, God does something else. God says, I want to tell you another way that women are important to me. After Christ came, after he established, after he built the church, what does God use to illustrate the church? Women. The church is the bride of Christ. Here in Revelation chapter 12, as John uses this pregnant woman, she's going through the process, eventually has the child. John is using that illustration to say the Old Testament was pregnant, if you will, with messianic hope. And then that hope finally was fulfilled. The baby came, the Messiah arrived. One of the verses that we read was Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. It's here that John talks about a great red dragon, a figurative description for the devil. And John uses in verse 3 several numbers to illustrate Satan's power. Numbers like 7 and 10. In the Bible often describe things like completeness, the entirety of something, the fullness of something. John spoke of the devil as having 7 heads. He said that this creature has 10 horns. And there are 7 crowns on each of his 7 heads. Now I can't prove this conclusively, but I do have some doubts that Satan is a creature who literally has 7 heads, 10 horns, because he is a spiritual creature. He's not flesh and blood like we are. John's point seems to be that Satan has plenty of power at his disposal. And then we see that power demonstrated in verse 4. John says Satan has a tail. Well, again, I would not understand that literally, But with that tail, he draws down, he takes a third part of the stars. In the case of the woman here, which is standing or representing God's plan to redeem man throughout the ages, Satan wants to use his power to destroy that plan. Jesus is coming into the world and Satan wants to stop that. He knows that if the Lord, if God's plan results in Jesus coming into the world, Satan knows that that's not going to be a good thing for him. Thus, John says Satan was standing by to devour that child. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. It's almost in my mind like Satan standing there in the delivery room saying, this baby is going to damage me and my cause, and I'm going to do my very best to destroy the son. Now, that might seem like it was going to be a slam dunk for Satan. He's not been able to stop God's plan all the way up until it's time for the Messiah to come into the world. So now let's kill the baby and let's go ahead and end things here as far as man's redemption. But he wasn't successful. So as we look at Jesus' life, he's come into the world, and what do we find the devil doing? There were at least four times when Satan tried to stop Jesus, Matthew chapter 2. We have the death there of the younger males in and around the area of Bethlehem. Doesn't work. So we reach a time in Matthew chapter 4 where Satan tries to tempt the Lord and once again disrupt heaven's plan for redemption. It doesn't work. Not long before Jesus goes to the cross, Matthew 16, Peter tries to interfere with the Lord and his plans to go to the cross, and it doesn't work. And then finally, before Jesus goes to the cross, there is the betrayal of Judas in Luke chapter 22. Satan has been stopped, he's been checked. Throughout that pregnancy, if you will, everything has failed, and now it's time to betray the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, we find the woman, and men are just not the focus of this chapter. We again find this woman delivering her baby, representing, of course, the fact that Jesus did come into the world. John left no doubt that it was through a woman, by the female species, the Savior for all people came into the world. Now, when a woman has a child, she generally is interested in sharing that news. What do we find in the spiritual realm? Did God share the news of the one that came into the world? Yes, he did. He shared that news through people like John the Baptist. Jesus did all he needed to do. God's plan for redemption was finished. Thus we find in Revelation 12 verse 5, Jesus ascending back to heaven. He goes back to the Father. In just five verses, Revelation chapter 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, John sums up the fact that God had this plan. It started way back here, and it culminates with the Son of God, and Jesus goes back up into heaven. That's a lot of material in just five verses. He sums up the entire religious history for humanity. That woman that represents the light, the truth before Moses, finally concludes with Christ going back to heaven. Out of all the things that we could discuss from the Bible in the book of Revelation or elsewhere, this chapter really exalts women. Just five verses. Now, if this is all the information that we had about ladies, I think that women could look at this passage and say, wow, God has used us. He's used the female race to accomplish some good things. But you know, if we continue to read through Revelation chapter 12, we find that God exalts ladies even more. Beginning in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, we have John still using some of the same symbols or figures, but now he begins to use them in a slightly different way. Let's look at that sixth verse. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. And then, of course, she was going to be nourished for a period of time. Now, back in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, what's happening? Jesus is going back into heaven. John does the story end with the Lord's ascension, and John says no. Yes, it's true that Jesus has left the earth, he's gone back into heaven, but what now? What's next? And John says, listen, I have some additional information. There are some more details that involve the imagery of women and mothers. So John in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, to help sort of keep the thought intact, he again appeals to the female race. He again uses the word woman. But now in verse 6, the word woman takes on a different meaning. Remember that after Jesus went back into the world, he's established his church. The church that in Ephesians chapter 5 is referred to as the bride of Christ. Well, the woman in Revelation chapter 6 takes on that meaning. There is this woman that brought the Lord into the world. That, of course, would have been Mary in that ultimate plan that God used. But now he's created his bride. And John begins to talk about that bride beginning with verse 6. While on the earth, Jesus knew that his bride, his church, what's now represented by a woman in Revelation chapter 12 and 6 and following, would be persecuted. As he now rules from heaven, he knew that his people were going to be harassed and maligned. Thus, he speaks about in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, this woman, the church, fleeing into the wilderness. He recognized that the church was going to go through at hard times. In verse 15, which we read earlier, it's here that the devil is pictured as going after the woman in the sea, that is the church, going after her in such a way where it's like a river trying to drown someone. Satan was unable to stop God's plan back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He couldn't stop God's plan when it was time for the law of Moses to be in effect. He couldn't stop God's plan when Jesus was young. He couldn't stop God's plan when it was time to tempt the Lord. He couldn't stop God's plan with Peter. He couldn't stop God's plan with Judas. And now that Jesus is back in heaven, he's still trying to stop God's plan to stamp out the church. And yet that simply has not happened. And John uses women to describe or to illustrate all these things. In this chapter, women, ladies, mothers are portrayed very positively, while Satan is pictured as opposing them and their work. As I think about what we have here in Revelation chapter 12, it is, in my mind, a good reminder that ladies do not always have an easy time in life. Earlier this week, I saw a note from a lady. She has 5, maybe 6 children. One of her children has a serious health problem that really complicates the family life. And as I looked at one of the things that she said, I found this comment, quote, "Sometimes having kids help with chores means having to do things 3 or 4 times. Things like to fill the sink up with warm, soapy water because someone, presumably one of her kids, thought the water needed to be drained. Or," she said, "restarting the dishwasher because the loader forgot to put in the soap. Or having to redo a load of laundry because one of the children put in too many clothes. Or remaking lunch because someone wanted to try a new recipe." Moms, as demonstrated by this lady, can have their hands full during the child-rearing years. After kids are grown, after they're out of the house, there can still be some challenging times. In fact, there can be some instances where it's even more difficult in the later years than the earlier years. Moms at times can wonder if their results, if their efforts are ever going to yield good results, or if their work, if their efforts are really appreciated. Is all that I'm doing really wonder? Is it all really worthwhile in the end? In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible tells us that Satan does not like the works associated with good women. He never has. In the spiritual realm, certainly, but even in the secular realm. If you're still in Revelation chapter 12 with me, let's move down about midway through the chapter and see what we find in verse 11. It's a great verse for today. "And they," that is, these people who were trying to do what was right, "and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." In the midst of all the references to women in this chapter, the things that they represent, the good things that they represent, and the difficulties associated with those good things, John uses the word overcome. He says, they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb. Again, trying to apply this to today, Mother's Day, I'd like to suggest that mothers are people who are overcomers. One day, it may be that the mom, the wife, enters into the kitchen and there is a stack of dishes. How are they going to be done? They overcome. On another day, it may be a stuck zipper, it may be a torn piece of clothing, it may be a cut finger. But mom is able to overcome. When sickness strikes, there may be problems in the secular job that a mother and wife has. Again, mom to the rescue. There are occasions, perhaps more than we realize, when the devil hates women. Hates men too, but we're thinking about ladies today. And this is a point which we see repeatedly from Revelation chapter 12. Satan certainly hates the church, because John describes him as persecuting it in this chapter. He doesn't want people to continue with it. He doesn't want people to start with it or be a strong part of it. We may infer from Revelation chapter 12 that Satan hates moms. He really despises moms who are trying to do what's right, follow the Lord's will, and be an encouragement and help and strength in the home. For the ladies, for the moms that we have here today, there is especially one verse in Revelation 12 that should be encouraging to us. And it's Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. It's a simple passage. But John draws a conclusion. He says here, "Therefore, rejoice. Rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Satan likes to make life miserable for those who are trying to do what's right. But John says there's some good news. The end of verse 12 promises us that Satan's time is limited. He may hate us. He may oppose our works. He may try to stir up trouble for us in and out of the home in all kinds of ways. But John says, know this, the devil is running on borrowed time, and he knows it. Each day that passes is one less day that Satan has to work his chaos throughout the world. And you know, as we think about Satan and the time that's running out for him, we should never forget how godly women, Revelation chapter 12, are used to illustrate how Satan has tried to frustrate men, but at the same time, God's righteous people, many of whom have been women, have often helped frustrate his work. By helping things go well in the home, by helping train future generations to be Christians, moms, at least indirectly, make some attacks, some strong and regular attacks on Satan's kingdom. By being a woman who continually encourages family members to pursue righteousness, moms help upset the devil's plans. We can draw that conclusion from Revelation chapter 12. There are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, and God has decided to use at least one of those chapters, Revelation chapter 12, to help illustrate the value of women. And that's a lesson I think that people need to hear. Today is a good day, it's a great day to honor all ladies and moms, especially those who, as they live their lives, are trying to offset Satan's work. If you are a woman, and perhaps a mother, same applies to men, but especially to ladies, keep running the race. Keep working to upset the devil's plans by living a faithful life. If you're someone who is a woman, perhaps a mother, but you've not yet become a Christian, you've not yet reached your full potential. And today, you can take a couple of steps that will allow you to do just that. If you believe in God, that's the first step. But with that belief, the Bible says there has to be some additional activity. You have to be willing to look at the devil's kingdom, the ways of the world, and say, that's not going to be the way that I want to live anymore. That's not a cause I want to support, so I'm going to shift my allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's called repentance. And with that belief, with that desire to live in a new and better and righteous way, you can confess that Christ is the Son of God. He's the one that John uses women to describe in Revelation chapter 12. He and his great plan that's ultimately fulfilled in the church. With that belief, with that repentance, confess the Lamb. And then finally, to become part of the Lamb, the Bible says, we're baptized into Christ, into the Lamb. We access the cleansing benefits of His blood, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Today, we can be more than a wife. We can be more than a mother. We can be more than a son, more than a daughter, more than a father, more than a husband. We can be a Christian wife, daughter, mother, son, daughter. We hope that's your choice, and that you've been living in a way which really seeks to frustrate the devil's plans every single day. If you're on a different path, on a different course, God gives you at least one more chance to change and right things. And that's what we'd like to invite you to do now, publicly, as we stand and sing the selected song.